Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome. This is Nightlight. Thanks for the tune in, folks. Great to have you with me on a Tuesday night. Last Tuesday in January. That's exciting. As we inch closer to spring, I get a little more excited. I have these little milestones like last Tuesday in January or last Monday in January. I'll be talking about the same stuff at the end of February because March, the way I see it, we have 4 weeks to go. Because March, technically, it could be nice. It's usually not. But you could get some nice weather in March. So this is the last Tuesday in January. We got 4 weeks to go of winter, even though it hasn't been that bad. I shouldn't even complain. This isn't too bad. Scratch it. Forget it. Welcome to Nightlight. Let's back up. That's what I have to say. Glad to have you with me. Got a fun show planned tonight. Conrad is here taking texts.
I am.
You know, I didn't just realize this, Conrad, but take a memo, will you?
Yeah, sure. I got a new notepad.
Okay, it's about time. I have all these little thoughts throughout the show, and I heap them on my trusted companion, Conrad. But I don't have a, like, if I have to cough, I have to turn my head and cover my mouth. I can't just, like, hit a button. Is that weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. That's the memo, I guess. A cough button. That's what I call it in the industry, a cough button. Conrad is here to take your texts and calls tonight. We had great activity in the text line and the phone line last night. A lot of activity around the question. And we got another good one tonight. We got some fun guests coming to join us. Mike Siegel is here from If Walls Could Talk. Mike was here last Tuesday. This is a pattern we're developing here that I will get better at. But I had Dave Patterson here 2 weeks ago. He is the writer and producer of the film Bridge to Terabithia. We ran out of time with Dave, so I had Dave back last Tuesday. Mike was on as well. Mike Siegel, our guest tonight. I ran out of time with Mike last Tuesday. I felt like we were kind of rushed, so I finished my two-parter with Dave Patterson, and I thought, well, why not do a two-parter with Mike Siegel, too? He's got a lot to say. He's worn many different hats in show business. He's hosted the show If Walls Could Talk and What You Get for the Money. He was also the host of TBS Movie Break. He's seen a ton of movies. We'll talk to him about that. And he has a great podcast that I will tell you all about when he is here at 8:30 or shortly after. And then Mike Kauth joins us from Comedy Sports Milwaukee. Comedy Sports has become kind of an institution in Milwaukee. It's sort of the training ground, kind of the groundlings or second city of Milwaukee. And it's launched many really funny people and put them on their way to success in show business. So we'll talk to Mike. He's the head coach and also a player in Comedy Sports. He'll be along in the 9 o'clock hour. And Conrad, you know what today is?
What day is it?
This is the time when people plan a lot of trips because It's January. And I know it's been kind of mild this winter, which I'm grateful for. But today is National Plan a Trip Day. And I have to say, I do this all the time. I plan trips. I don't actually take them, but they are fun to plan, and you can do that for free. You don't have to drop thousands of dollars. So that is tonight's question as well. Where would you take a trip to if money was no object? Where would you go? What's our phone number, Conrad? I still don't know the new one by heart.
It is 844-967-2789.
Okay. Or 844-96-PARTY. That's a little easier. 844-96-PARTY. 844-967-2789, or you can text us on the app. We've been getting a lot of activity on the app because it's so easy. You just log into your Civic Media app, you press play on any of the stations because we're on statewide, and then there's a little text icon. You just click text, and you can launch away and tell us where you would go tonight if money were no object. That's a fun question. I should find out, where do you think you would go, Conrad?
I don't know, but I think maybe the Galapagos Islands.
Wow. Okay, that's interesting. I don't know much about the Galapagos Islands, other than they have a cool name that sounds sort of made up, frankly. But what happens there?
I remember learning about it in school, and I always thought it'd be really cool because they have some of the like most exotic like animals there and plants and nice. Stuff like that. So I think it'd be cool.
Very cool. Well, that's a good one. And it's far away. Where are the Galapagos Islands? I can't think off the top of my head.
Ecuador, I believe.
Let me do a quick Google. Let's go to the Google. I love Google because even if I'm not spelling something properly, I know it's going to come up. That's AI for you. Oh, that's beautiful. That's a great choice. Yeah, that's nice. Okay. I think I would go to the Wisconsin Dells. You know we're going to get texts like that. I'd go to Door County. Both beautiful places. But I'm talking, if you could go anywhere, where would you go? If money was no object, that's tonight's question. So let us know what you think, folks. This is an exciting night, too, because today is Gene Hackman's birthday. Gene Hackman, in my humble opinion, and I'm just a guy, one of the top three or five actors in the history of this country. He is that versatile, that passionate, that trained. He is an outstanding actor. And most people probably know Gene Hackman from The French Connection, Hoosiers, Mississippi Burning. I'm trying to think of the movie he was in with Al Pacino. Let's go to the Google. I meant to look this up, but I didn't, because I just watched it like 3 weeks ago. My friend Kevin Katoka told me about it. Gene Hackman. Scarecrow. That's it. I just watched this like a month ago. Really quirky, fun movie. And Gene Hackman also played Lex Luthor. He is so well-rounded. He is just like, he can do big. He can do subtle. He can be a quirky goofball like he was in Scarecrow. Basketball coach in Hoosiers. Mississippi Burning. He's an old school FBI agent. And he plays opposite William Dafoe, Wisconsin's own, Appleton's own, Willem Dafoe, who plays kind of the younger, clean-cut FBI agent. And they go after the Ku Klux Klan in Mississippi after three civil rights workers disappeared. It's based on a true story. And it's one of my all-time favorite performances from Gene Hackman. It's a really good movie. Came out in, I want to say the 90s, but maybe it's actually late 80s. But Willem Dafoe is great. He's like this clean-cut, young, idealistic FBI agent until he realizes they can't get the guys that did this horrible crime unless he buys into Gene Hackman's ways. It's such a great film, and that is what I am recommending tonight. If you're looking for a great throwback movie, Mississippi Burning, I'd recommend Hoosiers, but you've seen Hoosiers, right, Conrad?
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen Hoosiers. Hoosiers.
Users.
Users.
yeah, great film. And one of the best feel-good sports movies also. And it's that intensity that Gene Hackman brings to every role that he exhibits in Hoosiers as well. Let's play that Mississippi Burning clip. Here's what's happening. Okay, so Gene Hackman's character gets involved with Frances McDormand's character, who Frances McDormand is married to one of the white supremacists or whatever, and that is suspected of committing this crime of these three civil rights workers. I think it was two Jewish kids and a black kid that went missing. So the husband finds out and beats up his wife to the point where she's in the hospital. Willem Dafoe is in the hospital. Gene Hackman comes in to see, and he sees what happened, and he's horrified, and he storms off to go after the guys that did it. He's been frustrated this whole time with Willem Dafoe because Willem Dafoe is by the book, and Gene Hackman keeps telling him, we can't do this by the book if we are going to get these guys. All right, roll it, Conrad.
Mr. Anderson, stop. Mr. Anderson!
What the hell?
I'm telling you to stop, and I mean it. We're not killers.
That's the difference between them and us.
That's the difference between them and you.
You're not any more like them than I am.
Wrong. What do you care what I do if some hiding behind a sheriff's badge? Don't you have the whole world to change?
That's right, and I'm changing it.
Oh, you're just as arrogant as you are stupid.
You're changing it too.
God damn, well, I'm gonna make some changes right now.
Don't be so stupid. Don't go messing this up just because you're partial to fooling around with witnesses.
You! Oh, come on. Ah! Ah! Oh. It don't mean I have a gun unless you're ready to use it.
I'll kill you right now if you don't listen to what I have to tell you. Let me go. Let me go.
We'll go after all of them. Together.
You wouldn't know how.
You're gonna teach me how.
You don't have the guts.
Not only do I have the guts, I have the authority.
What is that supposed to mean?
New rules. We nail them any way we can, even your way.
Is this you talking or some guy pulling your strings, huh?
Both.
We do it my way.
Your way.
With my people.
Whatever it takes.
Okay. Give me a minute. You think he would have shot me?
Oh, yes, sir.
He's a ballsy little bastard, isn't he?
Gene Hackman turns 94 today. I love that line. Not only do I have the guts, I have the authority. And Gene Hackman's a bigger guy, kind of aggressive, and gets Willem Dafoe down on the hood of a car. Willem Dafoe just does a sweet move where he gets him and pulls his gun on him. Just a great scene between two phenomenal actors, Mississippi Burning and Gene Hackman, is 94 today. Happy birthday to Gene Hackman. We do have another clip. We'll probably get to that later in the show. We'll do our Hoosiers clip, but that was Gene Hackman in Mississippi Burning. So our question tonight is, where would you take a trip to if money was no object? And our phone number, 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Let us know. It's also National Croissant Day. K-Man, you like croissants?
I mean, yeah, they're I wouldn't go to it every morning, but occasionally they're fun.
Sure.
Did you have one this morning for the day?
I did not. I'm not a big croissant guy. I like them if they're flavored or if they have like cream cheese on them or something. They can be delectable. But no, I've not had a croissant this morning. So in just a few minutes, Mike Siegel will join us and Conrad. You know what? It's also help me. I always torture this guy's name. Wilmer Valderrama. Is that right?
Yeah, that's...
That is correct, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He's from That 70s Show, set in Wisconsin. It's his birthday today. He's 44. He's 50 years younger than Gene Hackman. How is that possible? So maybe when we come back, maybe coming up next, we'll play a Wilmer clip. He's... did you like That 70s Show? Were you a fan?
Oh, yeah. I've seen it probably like five times through.
There's another Wisconsin guy in there. Kurtwood Smith is also from Wisconsin. Not that Wilmer is, but Kurtwood Smith is a Wisconsin guy, I believe. Very funny guy and a funny show too. So we'll talk more about birthdays. We'll talk more about big releases on this day, Taken and the Americans. Maybe we'll hear something from them. We don't know, and you don't know, and you won't know, but you will know next. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. That's Phil Collins. He turned 73 today. Gene Hackman's 94. Wilmer Valderrama. I've always had trouble with his name. And Christian Bale, Batman, turns 50 today. He was a great Batman. I think that was like when Christopher Nolan took over that franchise. I don't even know what you call it, a franchise or the rights to Batman, whatever. Christian Bale was just on another level. You can't even count, like, even Michael Keaton, who's a great actor. That the 90s Batman just did not cut it. But Christian Bale was great, and he turns 50 today. Let's hear That 70s Show was set in Wisconsin. Let's hear some That 70s Show, Conrad. Anything we need to set up here? It pretty much speaks for itself, doesn't it?
Yeah, they're just short, they're really, like,
yeah,
funny, iconic clips from his character, Fez.
Yeah, Fez. All right, roll it, buddy.
You two narked on me? What? You stand there and accuse me of narking? No, sir. No, I did not nark. What's nark?
Calling the cops.
Oh, yes, we narked.
Let's play that other one, too.
Mr. Sexy's Pizza. Our special today is Sexaroni. Well, it's like pepperoni, but sexy. You mean you want some? We're close.
Is he? That's a funny, I don't know where he came up with that accent. That's pretty funny, though. So we have a lot of other stuff. Taken was released today in 2009, and The Americans, 2013. If you haven't seen The Americans, I highly recommend it. It's about a Russian couple that has been undercover in America for years, and they are forced to be, they're like sort of, they're both double agents, and they're married, and they have kids, and they're The Americans. Kerry Russell, Matthew Rhys, Kerry Russell is a phenomenal actress. I used to write promos for the WB network when I lived in LA, and I had to watch the show Felicity over and over, and I thought, ah, this is really my cup of tea, you know, young girl going to college. I was like a 30-year-old dude. It was great, and she was great in it. Kerry Russell is a phenomenal actress, and she's very smart. She pivoted, and I think she was trying to shake off Felicity and being sort of pigeonholed, and she took a role, a small role, in Mission Impossible 3. Where she just like kicked ass and she was so good. So casting her in The Americans totally worked. And Matthew Rhys is a great actor too. I think he's Welsh. He was also in the last two seasons, well, the only two seasons on HBO of Perry Mason. Great acting duo there that came together for The Americans. Highly recommend it. In fact, if you're looking for a show to watch, go watch the first episode of The Americans. The way they end it is so, it's just, it's like action packed with great music and it's, but it's not over the top. It's just great. So I would highly recommend if you're looking for a show, check out The Americans and Taken. Now Taken, Conrad, I don't know if you remember this. That was the Liam Neeson movie where he went after people who threatened his family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you familiar with that one?
Yeah. Isn't there like four of those movies?
There's three of them.
Three of them.
But
yeah.
They're a little different. One, they take his daughter. The other one, they take his wife. I think the third one, they take his grandmother or something. I don't know. Hey, so let's talk a little bit. A big part of entertainment over the past weekend was the championship games. And that's supposed to be, to me, I'm a football fan. I love watching. I like sports because you never know the ending. The ending is unwritten. It's not like a script or a movie you watch where it's predictable. Sports, you have no, like, a perfect example. In the Baltimore-Kansas City game, Lamar Jackson throws a pass. It gets blocked. It goes like 40 feet in the air. He runs under it, catches it, and runs it for like 15 yards. Like, plays like that make it totally worth watching. You really never know how a sporting event is going to end, whether it's the Kentucky Derby, football, baseball, whatever. But I have to say, and I think we both talked about this, Conrad. You were kind of disappointed too. It seemed like the two teams that were not the better teams. Well, it's hard to say Mahomes is not part of the better team, but they were shut out in the second half. Like whatever adjustments the Ravens made worked, but they couldn't score the ball.
They had a crucial, you know, moment where Zay Flowers, the Ravens wide receiver, dove into the end zone and then he lost the ball like at the 1 yard line because he fumbled. That could have completely changed the game, which sucks.
But. And Lamar Jackson, just a bad decision. Threw that pick,
which that was,
conceivably should have been the go-ahead touchdown had Zay Flowers not fumbled. Now, woulda, coulda, shoulda, whatever.
Yeah.
But I really felt like the Ravens were just sort of like kind of choked in a big moment. Yeah. And Mahomes is not going to choke.
No, he is not.
The guy is like incredible.
Lamar did. He looked terrible that game. And, you know, I saw a stat the other day. It was his QBR quarterback rating in the playoffs is 75, which, if you know what a QBR rating is, the perfect score is a 158.
What's the difference between the QBR? All right, because I thought they were different. I thought the QBR was something different than the quarterback rating.
No, it's like the
QBR, I guess, means quarterback rating.
Yeah.
But what's there are two stats they use for quarterbacks. And the rating, like anything over 90, is considered pretty good.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So his playoff stats are not the best.
Yeah.
But I just hope he can come back next year and actually maybe go to a Super Bowl. So
he's such a fun player to watch. Yeah. He's like one of my favorite. I was so excited. And here's my issue. And this is why I kind of wanted to talk about this. Like, championship weekend is really fun. Typically, those are the best games. Last year's Super Bowl was great, having said that. But I mean, Baltimore and Kansas City, I was excited about. Then Detroit, to see the Lions advance to where they did was great. But I just felt like it was so frustrating watching. I kind of wanted a gritty Super Bowl, Baltimore versus Detroit. I thought that would be really fun, but yeah, both teams lost, and they both kind of beat themselves, I think.
They did. The Lions definitely did.
Yeah.
Campbell should have kicked some field goals, but, you know, should have, would have, could have. But
yeah, I heard a great analogy earlier today. I was listening to a show, and they said, at some point, you know, there's like boxing and chess, and you can go for it on fourth down when you're boxing during the regular season, but in the playoffs, you have to play chess. You got to take those points. You're not playing a bunch of slappies in the playoffs. You're going against Kyle Shanahan, and you got to take the points. That would have put them up three. And not only did they not take the points, the momentum completely changed because they didn't make it, I think. It was definitely all on Campbell, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't put any of that blame on Goff. I mean,
no, me either.
That was just a bad decision on Campbell.
And his players, at some point, you might lose the trust of your players if you make bad decisions like that. I mean, I like the guy. I admire him. He turned the franchise around. It's great. But what are you going to do to get to the next step, right? I don't know. You guys can weigh in on anything. We're all over the place tonight. So please join in the conversation. It's 844-967-2789. Where would you go? In the spirit of National Plan a Vacation Day, if you could go anywhere in the world at no cost, where would you go? Let us know. We got a world traveler coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go. That's the question. In the spirit of National Plan a Vacation Day, if you could go anywhere in the world at no cost, where would you go? So far, we've heard the Galapagos Islands. That was from the Cayman. And Conrad's mom, she chimed in a little earlier tonight, Conrad.
Yeah.
So she says she'd take an around-the-world cruise, and then a friend of mine just texted Spain. I got a cousin. My cousin Danny Griffin has lived in Spain for like 40 years. In Madrid, and I think he once described the band he plays in. He plays with a guy who's like the Bruce Springsteen of Spain. And it's been a really good gig. He married a girl there, so he's done very well. So Spain sounds great, but we can ask all of this to our next guest who has been around the world, and he can give us lots of tips on our question of the night. He is Mike Siegel, and he joins us now. Hey, Mike.
Hi, Pete. Hey, is the Spanish Springsteen, is his nickname El Jefe?
Well, since I don't speak Spanish.
That means the Spanish for the boss. Okay. See, now it's lost on you. That's lost on you.
Listen,
Pete.
Most American jokes are lost on me. I don't you expect me to get like a bilingual joke. Mike was here last week. I kind of felt rushed. He's a very old friend. We've had a long time friend.
Let's not call it. Yeah. Let's say old friend, Pete. Come on.
I chose my words
very
poorly.
Young people.
Yes. Mike is in his extremely late 20s. And we go back a long way. He's had a great experience in show business, and I felt like we were too rushed last week. We didn't get the stuff, so we'll just take our time tonight and talk to Mike a little bit. Great to have you back. Thanks for joining me, Mike. I know you're...
It's always great to see you, and this was fun doing it. I'm sorry we got cut short last time, but now that you're talking about travel, you're right up my alley.
I know. Why don't we...
Host of the Longtime Travel Tales podcast. Where do you want to go? Where would you go, Pete?
Why don't...
The unlimited...
You know...
Funds?
I'll tell you what, a couple of years ago, actually 3 or 4 years ago, I was kind of like, what do I do? I missed California. I love living in Wisconsin, though. It's the people here are great. You get a lot for your money. We could talk about that, too, because you hosted a show.
Yeah, right.
Wisconsin's beautiful. I grew up part of my child in Chicago. I was like, where do I go now? Like, if I was up for a new adventure, and we talked about Portugal, because at the time, it was considered kind of affordable. And it's, I think, is it tropical, Mike? I don't know. I know it's right in the ocean.
No, it's I love Portugal. I've been there a couple times, and it's now, since COVID especially, it's been found out by expats. Oh, it was, you know, it's like booming. So okay. Now it's not as easy. It's California weather, basically. It's kind of dry. Oh, wow. It's Mediterranean. Yeah. So you're right on the coast, and, you know, it can get cool at night, but it's never really that bad. But it's like, you know, the lifestyle of Spain or Italy and stuff. But immigrating there was a lot easier with a lot less red tape. And once that's been found out in the last 10 years, it's just prices have gone up. Getting in is a little bit harder now, but it's, I love it. And I could live there very easily.
Okay.
It's very, very nice.
Where's the new Portugal? The place people haven't found yet.
Well, if you look in like Central America and stuff, like Costa Rica has been found out. Panama is kind of booming now. That's kind of the next place where a lot of Americans are going to, other than this, you know, Mexico and places like that. That's probably Panama. Costa Rica's again been found out a little bit. Nicaragua, even places like that. But then you run into kind of politics and right. things like that. Croatia is also big. Medical tourism is very big. You know, as Americans, we don't get health insurance. So it's funny when you go to like Istanbul in Turkey, you see all these middle-aged guys walking around with head wraps on their head, like bandages. And I was at first like, what the hell's going on? Was there a big street fight that I didn't know about? But
did I miss a street fight?
Yeah. Turns out it's like the number one place for hair transplants.
Oh, really?
Around the world. So people come from around the world to get hair transplants in Istanbul. So you walk around downtown Istanbul and it's just guys with head bandages all over the place.
Lots of plugs.
Yeah, a lot of them.
That's pretty cool. What's the weather like in Croatia, though? If I'm going anywhere, if I'm leaving Wisconsin, which doesn't look
again,
like,
it's Mediterranean, so it's beautiful. You know, it's just right across. It's right next to Italy, and you're right on the sea there, and it's gorgeous.
So I don't know if you heard this, Mike. 20 years from now, supposedly the number one place to live in the world, given climate change, will be Michigan. Honest to God, I read. I think it was in the New York Times.
I've heard these things, about fresh water.
Right, and it's a beautiful state to begin with. Their coast is great.
Yeah.
And all around the state, it's a big state. There's hills. It's very beautiful. I feel like we're next in line. Wisconsin, we're very similar to Michigan. Climate, sure. We've got fresh water. But 20 years from now, I'm going to be 141. I don't know if I want to wait that. No. Have you heard that? It's like, because we have fresh water here. I mean, we have to protect it. The PFAS are an issue in the Midwest, but that could be kind of cool.
I have heard that, and Minnesota as well.
Yeah.
People are going up there. It's going to be interesting to see how it's going to change. You're already finding people that, you know, in places like Palm Springs, where I know your parents go to a lot.
Yeah.
You know, the summers, it's just getting hotter and hotter and hotter. We worry about fires out here. You remember?
Sure.
California. Now there's a whole fire season. It wasn't too bad this year, but it's bad. I had friends who live in Sonoma up in wine country, and they finally had to leave because they were tired of evacuating for like either smoke or actual fire came right to their door. Good so they're Lord. Just like, after a couple of years of that, she was just like, nope, I'm done.
Wow. But, well,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just heard the weather before I got on here, and it was going to be, 45 this week?
With the amount of days it's been 40 in January in Northeast Wisconsin is a little scary. I'm soaking it up, loving it. There's nothing I can do to change it, so I'm going to enjoy it. But it is a little scary.
Right.
You know.
Is there snow on the ground there now?
There is, just only because about 3 weeks ago we got a really huge storm. But a lot of it's gone. I mean, it's been pretty crazy. And Minnesota is nice, but they're a bunch of copycatters. They like to do whatever Wisconsin does. So we don't.
Well, we noticed the difference in our lifetime, right? I mean,
Sure.
I grew up in Chicago, and I remember them snow being on the ground at least like all winter long. At least you know, in different levels, but there was always something on the ground. And now I've gone back in February the last 10 years or so, and nothing on the ground. And it's still cold, but it just, you know, maybe get a snow and then it melts away within a week, and it's very strange. I had friends with snowmobiles, and they finally got rid of them after a while because they just weren't using them.
Yeah, it's strange. I've noticed just since I've been back here 12 years ago, came back, and it was frigid. There's a certain amount of time during in January and February where it's like 0, 10. Those were the highs. And I said to my parents, was it always this cold? Like, I don't remember it being this cold. And they said, yeah. So I had been gone for, what, 15 years or whatever, and I got used to it when I got back. But that was just 12 years ago. I don't think we've had a winter like that in 6 or 7 years. So it's changed just in the last decade, I would say.
No, I've been scuba diving for the last 30 years, and what I've seen around the world are the reefs. It's sad. It's really sad. So like a lot of my new travels coming up, you know, in the last few years have been about kind of like seeing nature when I could, because I've seen a lot of it disappear, the reefs bleaching and that kind of stuff. So, you know, the water temperature's rising a little bit. It just throws the whole ecosystem off. So it's just, it's kind of sad, but, see nature while you can, Pete.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
No, I will. My guest is Mike Siegel. He is the host of What You Get for the Money, If Walls Could Talk. He hosted Movie Break on TBS. There's pretty much not a show he hasn't hosted. So where would you go, Mike? You've been all over the place. I've seen the map you have in your office with all the thumbtacks you have all over the world. And I'm like, you don't even, where haven't you been and where do you want to go?
I still have about right before COVID, I had about a dirty dozen list of countries that I still haven't been to. Egypt is a big one that I still haven't been to. Egypt and Morocco. And then, the Galapagos, as one of your
nice Conrad
fans mentioned. Yeah. That's a tough one to get to. So I've always wanted to go there. I had never been to mainland China. I've always wanted to see it, but I've been to like Hong Kong and Taiwan, which is kind of like China light, but it's not actual the mainland China. And, you know, Russia was on that list, but it's looked like that's going to have to wait for a while.
Yeah.
As is a lot of stuff in the Middle East. You know, Egypt might have to wait a little bit. The Red Sea is not really one of the places I'm looking to go to at the moment.
Right.
But, you know, and I always tell people, it's just like, look, the first time I left the country was in 89 and I went to Europe. And at that time there was two Germanys. There was a Yugoslavia, a Czechoslovakia.
Yeah, no kidding. Wow.
I went through the Berlin Wall at Checkpoint Charlie. You know, things change quick. You know, people think it was so long ago, but it's not. So, and there's a couple of countries there like Myanmar that I've always wanted to go to that, was only really open for like a short window. And I missed that window for a couple of years. They were opening up to tourists. And now like the military junta kind of took it back and, it's closed again, but I've heard amazing things about it, but I've just, you know, you just never know. So if that was, and I went to Cuba when it was a little easier to get to, I still snuck in.
You took a boat to Cuba.
Yeah. Well, I had to like fly in through Cancun. You didn't hear this from me though.
No.
This
is like a... Conrad, we're recording this, right? Take a memo.
Right. But it was fascinating. Cuba is like really fascinating.
It's funny. You use the word junta, which is spelled J-U-N-T-A. And I remember a classmate of mine in high school was reading and he said, junta, because he missed the lesson the day before where the rest of us learned how to pronounce it.
Who's Jeff Bezos' wife now? Was it Lauren Sanchez?
Yeah, Lauren Sanchez.
Okay. Was it you that you were telling me you were watching when she was on the news out here? She said Marine Corps.
I think that's true. I forgot. Yeah, come on. Maybe she meant corporations or she thought that's what she, I don't know. Yeah. That's hilarious. So tell people how they can find Travel Tales, the podcast.
We're on wherever you get your podcasts, and I'm at Travel Tales Podcast on Instagram. It's probably the best way to find us, but wherever you get your podcasts, you know, listen up and sign up. We have new guests all the time. We got to get you back on there to talk Wisconsin, buddy.
Yeah, I've been three places, Chicago, Wisconsin, and LA. I've been all over America, but I haven't. Oh, in Montreal. I was in Montreal and Winnipeg. I was supposed to go to British Columbia once, but that got canceled, but Montreal was about as international as I got, I guess.
I love Montreal. Vancouver is one of my favorite cities in North America. Vancouver is great. And I just went to Montreal. That was another one that was on my list. I had never been to Toronto. Up until a few months ago. The biggest city in Canada. I've been to like all around the Maritime Islands. I've been to like Prince Edward Island. I've been to Halifax. I've been all around there. And I've been up to like the Yukon territory. And still hadn't been to Toronto. I had no reason to go. But then we just took a long weekend and went. We were out in Washington, D.C., my girlfriend and I. And then we said, you know what? Let's swing by Toronto in September. Went to a Blue Jays game. It was fun. Nice. Did all touristy stuff. Went up to the big tower. I loved it. It had a real Chicago vibe to it, which really? I know is a bad thing to say in Wisconsin. But
we
I should say
Chicago
I was born here. In Wisconsin. I was born in Wisconsin. I can
say you can say that. Yeah, so was Heather Graham, but
was she really?
Yeah, she was. It was her birthday yesterday. I had Brian Etting on to talk about Heather Graham because he did a movie with her. So I'm trying to do these little fun things where, like, if I know a weird tidbit or something, like on Jennifer Beal's birthday, I had Pete Moore on the show for a few minutes because he kissed her.
Oh, great!
In a play.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
so Pete told us that story. So all these little stories, all this knowledge I have in my head, I gotta find a way to use it somehow. Mike, you know what? Okay, so we'll talk more when we come back. Coming up next, I want to ask you where the best place you've been is. So you just told us where we could find the travel. And then I want to talk to you about the Bodines concert we saw in Indianapolis.
Oh, my God.
And that night, which is one of the longest of my life. And we'll talk about that with Mike Siegel. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. We're broadcasting statewide from City Deck Landing in Green Bay at our WGBW studios. Here are some texts we just got about Conrad's mom. I think I said that would do an around the world cruise from the 920. Jim from Appleton. I would go to Australia if money was not an issue. Well done. We'll ask Mike about that too. And then Conrad's mom, 920. If I could afford it, I would have to come back for work. Yeah, this is Paula. This is money is no object. So you guys can go wherever you want. And Jim, Mike, what do you tell Jim about Australia?
I just got back. I was there over the holidays. I was working on a cruise ship that dropped me off in Sydney on December 23rd. So I decided to stay there through the holidays. And my girlfriend flew out and she met me out there. So we stayed there through New Year's Eve. And it was great because New Year's Eve in Sydney is like world famous. You know, they blow off fireworks all over the Sydney Harbor and off the Sydney Harbor Bridge and everything else. And it's summer down there, so it's really warm. And, you know, Sydney is, and Australia in general, I mean, you're talking about a country that's, you know, it's the size of America in terms of land. I mean, it's huge. And whereas we have about 345 or whatever we're up to now.
Yeah.
They have like 25 million people. There's no one there. So, wow. You see these amazing like beach towns and things like that, that in America would just be, you know, overrun with houses and condos and hotels. And it's still kind of small and chill and it's great. You know, it's yeah.
Now, is that affordable? Is that affordable? If someone wanted to move there, relocate,
it's hard to immigrate there to relocate. They're very picky about who they let in. That's one of the reasons there's few people. They've been picky over the years about who they let in. So it's getting there is not easy. The best way to do it is to marry an Australian.
Okay.
Really. But no, it's a great place to live. It's just getting in, really. It's a great place to visit too. And now the dollar, the US dollar goes a long way. We were getting about $1.50 Australian to one US dollar. So that was great. And there's no tipping, which, you know,
no
what
tipping.
A relief that is. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
So I could buy a sweater at the TJ Maxx in Australia and not have to tip the person working behind the counter. Wow, that's
exactly.
Sounds really,
that's. And yeah, I never got cash. Everything's like touchless, like on your card. Boop,
oh,
boop, boop.
Very just, nice.
Yeah, I never had to get cash. And even the subways, you just tap your card.
All right, Jim, there you go. That's I think you should save for
the big thing is the flight. I mean, it's a hell of a flight, but once you get there, for anybody looking to travel and Americans, I always say that was my first solo trip in 96 was to Australia. And it's just easy because there's no language barrier. It's culturally, it's not that different from here.
Right.
You know, so it's easy to get around and it's just, and you just get, if you drive, just you're driving on the other side of the road. That's the only thing you got to remember.
Yeah. And you can get a Greyhound bus ticket there for like $120, which is pretty good.
That's how I got around the first time.
Oh, when you were there. Around, okay. Oh,
yeah,
nice.
96. Not this time.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool. So you've done stand up on cruises too. And one of the texts, Conrad's mom, who texts every night and she's awesome, said she would take a cruise. How is that, Mike? Let's transition from travel to comedy.
Okay.
And cruise ships are the perfect way to do it. How do you like working cruise ships?
Well, I've been doing them since about 2015, 2016, and they found me. There was an agent in Miami that saw me on Last Comic Standing on NBC.
Oh, yeah.
I was on the last season of that, and then he called me up, and he was like, hey, you ever think of doing cruises? And I was like, well, not till I was 70, you know, because traditionally that was the way it worked, you know. That was kind of like the end of your career, but they've kind of changed in that. I mean, there's a lot more comedy on the ships now. There's a lot less club work, and the money in the clubs hasn't really gone up.
Isn't that crazy?
Since we started 30 years ago.
That is insane.
Yeah. And so I gave it a shot. And as someone who likes travel, it's certainly not for everybody. I mean, I'm not a cruise person in my personal life.
Right.
I just like a little more control over my vacation. And it's just, they're great if you don't want to think or do anything.
Yeah.
Do any of the planning yourself. It's just, and I get some people like that. And my friends with kids really like them too. Like little kids, you could just kind of like turn them loose and then
throw them overboard.
Kids department. Yeah. And you know, the big thing is never having to pay for food for the kids and stuff like that.
I mean,
that's huge. So they can't really get in too much trouble on the,
I don't know if I would like that. I feel like it would be kind of,
it ain't for everybody.
Yeah.
And for comedy, it's a big switch because you had to be, now I don't do like Carnival, which I guess they have like a dedicated comedy club where you work with a couple other acts and they can be pretty loose with the subject matter and language. But on the ones, most of the ones and the ones I've been doing, you know, you gotta be pretty squeaky. There's no, you know, politics, there's no swearing, there's no,
sexual
stuff. And, well, if you're used to clubs and, I mean, there's rules.
How about sex, folks? Comics... What do you guys think about sex? Anybody here like sex?
And a lot of guys don't like it.
Yeah.
And also a lot of the shows would be all ages. So, I mean, that's the hardest thing. You get like an 80-year-old sitting next to a 10-year-old
and
everything in between. And it's like, well, somebody's going to be disappointed here. Probably both of you.
I love the story. And this happened to someone we know. We won't say the name, obviously, but if you bomb on a cruise ship, man, there is nowhere to go. And he did not do well. In fact, the audience hated him so much so the cruise line chartered a helicopter to come and take him to take him off the ship so that the people on the ship didn't have to see him. So I thought you heard that story.
No, I've been there with guys that they've let them off at the next port where they were supposed to be on for like a second week. And they're just like, you know, we're good. You can leave.
Why don't you rent a bike and
get that happened to a good friend of ours. I'll tell you after.
Yeah, please.
But, so to helicopter someone off is expensive. So they must have hated them.
They could have sunk the whole business. How'd the ship go? Well, they're out of business now. So not too well. So you and I, Mike, and we went to a Bodine's concert, great Wisconsin band, in Indianapolis.
Yes, we did. One of your favorite bands at that time.
Yeah. They still are. They're great. I love the Bodines. You know what? I'm going to put a pin in this. And then I want to ask you about Wiffle Ball.
Okay.
Just some of our fun LA fun. It was great. We had so much fun. But back in the day when we worked Wisconsin a lot at stand-ups, we did take a little road trip to Indianapolis, and we'll talk about that next. He's Mike Siegel. He's the host of If Walls Could Talk and What You Get for the Money and Movie Break and all kinds of stuff. And the Travel Tales podcast. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Word up.